No. Come on, let's say it. Shall prosper. No, 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 no. Oh, no weapon formed. Oh, shall. No, 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 no. Because God, what he said, he's gonna stand by his word. He will come through. Come on, let's say, God will do just what he said he will do. Stand by. Oh, no weapon formed. You got to say it like you believe it. Shall. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm here to tell somebody. God's got your back. God's got your side. Now let's just say this so I can preach, but let's say this. It just won't work. It just won't work. It just won't work. It just won't work. When you serve a God like mine, he's a bridge over troubled water. When you serve a God like mine, he's a friend in the midnight hour. When you serve a God like mine, he'll hold you in the middle of the night. When you serve a God like mine, a God like mine, a God like mine. Oh, it just won't work. It just won't work. It just won't work. It just won't work. Now point at somebody and say, it just won't work. It just won't work. No weapon, no. Come on. shall. Oh no, I believe that. It won't work. Somebody needs to hear that today. God's got your back. And God's on your side. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for having our back. Thank you for being on our side. No weapon formed against us will be able to prosper. Formed but not prospering. And so, Father, we come into this moment with full trust that you have all that we need. God, release your Rhema Logos in this moment. Father, I've studied, but only you can make me prepared. I'm willing, oh God, but only you can make me able. Let your word go forth this day that men might see you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Let every heart and believer say amen. 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 First, give an honor to God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. And I want to rush to thank God for our awesome and magnificent pastor. Can we give God praise for the greatest pastor? Amen. I told him just a few moments ago that I've been in church all my life, and this year is 19 years for me preaching God's gospel. But these last 3 years have been the best years of church I've ever seen in my life. And you don't do that without faithful and guided leadership. And so thank God for our very able pastor. And we appreciate him and thank him for who he is and what he means to us. I would that you would run with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 5, at verse number 1. We'll conclude at the 11th verse. Here the word of the Lord says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake by the fishermen, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, nevertheless, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat and to come and help them. And they had came to fill both the boats so that they began to sink. So when Simon saw it, he fell down at his face saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch that was taken. Verse number 11. And when they had brought their boat to land, they left everything and followed him. They left everything. So far, the scriptures. I want to talk from the subject, how to launch a life that goes beyond the ordinary. How to launch a life that goes beyond the ordinary. My brothers and my sisters, each and every year we stand on the cusp of a brand new year as we approach it with anticipation and excitement.
It's a time of both leaving behind the old and launching into the new. Every January, for many of us, this transition is epitomized by the tradition of making New Year's resolutions, creating vision boards, and goal setting. It's a period where our lives come under scrutiny as if they were under a microscope. As we reflect on what has been and where we want to go. Of course, our aspirations are diverse, from shedding a few extra pounds to saving more money, pursuing a higher education, embarking on a new career path. Most of us are driven by our desire for personal growth and involvement and development. And we're eager to take the necessary steps to turn our dreams into a reality by shifting from the ordinary to the extraordinary. Well, January has come and gone. But the question that now remains is, what will you do with the rest of your life? And how will you live a life that goes beyond the ordinary and the mundane? Today, that's what I want to talk about. Going beyond the ordinary for the extraordinary. First thing I want to share with you, family, is number one, if you're going to live a life that goes beyond the ordinary, you must first commit to doing the ordinary before you can do the extraordinary. Here in this passage of scripture, we are divinely seated as distant onlookers, as we are intentionally guided by the penmanship lens of the gospel writer and historian Luke. Luke in our text begins our sermonic focus and lesson and discourse by giving us a snapshot, an essential view of the early ministry moments of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Luke chapter number 5 serves as the introduction to the radical nature of the ministry of Jesus and the growing opposition from religious leaders as Jesus is seen in power and authority, teaching, healing, and calling forth his disciples. This being the foundation from which Luke writes, Luke commences within our selected scriptures as to give us an object lesson through the example of a man by the name of Simon Peter. Simon Peter is one who would yield himself to God and later ascend through the apostolic ranks in Christendom for the relationship and for the proliferation and the advancement of the kingdom of God. According to our text today, he is not identified as an apostolic figure, but right here, he is identified as a fisherman. Well, let me give you the background so I can give you the breakdown. The context suggests that on this scene and at this setting, on the Lake of Gennesaret, there's an eager and vast crowd that has assembled and united for the sole purpose of hearing the word of God. Jesus, being the master teacher, is on the main stage to give them what they so eagerly come for. The Bible says that there's a large multitude that has begun to press upon Jesus, so much so that Jesus begins to survey his surroundings and sees two vacant boats that belong to two fishermen who at this particular text says they were both out washing their nets. One of them belonged to Simon Peter. This is significant because prior to Peter being called to and chosen to do the extraordinary and give extraordinary service unto the Lord, he is found doing the ordinary. The Bible says that he, along with the other fishermen, are washing their nets. This alone suggests that before we are told anything or introduced to the following verses within this passage, that these men had just concluded the ordinary work of being a fisherman on the Lake of Gennesaret. We know this to be true because fishermen of that day and time would wash their nets to get rid of the excess weeds that had been taken from the area of fishing. This was an important step at the conclusion because if the nets were not cleansed, they would dry out, they would rot out, and then they would break, thus no longer being feasible for fishing again. Which is to say, Peter is at this place of ordinary work. Before the Lord looks to him to transform his life, he is faithful being a fisherman. This is significant because the pattern of God suggests that God never goes after the lazy, the idle, the slothful, or the lethargic. But whenever God looks to make an investment in the life of a person, he always finds them active and productive in their present profession or endeavor. Child of God, see, some of y'all don't believe me. All you've got to do is look down through biblical antiquity and see that God uses people who are busy and at work. You don't believe me. When God called Moses, Moses was busy at work tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro at Horeb. When God called Gideon, Gideon was busy at work threshing wheat by the wine press. When God called David, David was busy at work by being a shepherd of his father's sheep. When God called Nehemiah, Nehemiah was busy at work being the king's cupbearer. When God called Elijah to succeed Elijah, Elijah was at work being busy plowing with a team of oxen. When God called Paul, Paul was a tent maker by trade. When God called Matthew, known as Levi, Matthew was busy being a tax collector. And the question remains today, what are you doing? And what have you done lately that makes you a prime candidate to be used by God, guided by God, introduced to a purpose that's greater than yourself? For God. If God is going to pick you for the extraordinary, you've got to be proven in the ordinary. If God is going to pick you for the extraordinary, you've got to be proven in the ordinary. There's no way around it. You've got to put your time in. You've got to do the work. And oh, child of God, maybe the reason why many of us have not experienced the best of life is because we've elected to do the minimum in life. Which is to say, effort is required. Huh? Did I hear amen over there? Oh, okay. All right, I'm going to preach to y'all. Effort is required because your next season is based off of what you do in your now season. And if you're lazy now, you won't be able to carry the load later. Instead of catching fish, you just buy them. Lazy. It depends. So somebody told me the other day, they said, Cam, you got to pray like it depends on God, but you got to work like it all depends on you. And oh, brothers and sisters, the problem with our church and our faith is, well, our problem is we don't have a problem producing a waiting faith. We've got a problem producing a working faith. I don't mind waiting. The Lord telling you to work, baby. You got to work. A faith that majors in moving from ordinary to the extraordinary. Never neglect the ordinary because it serves as the catalyst for the extraordinary. So anybody who's done anything worthwhile, worth recognition, or used by God, they'll tell you, learn to do the ordinary. Matter of fact, I've been in the gym. Y'all see it. And don't make me open this thing up here. You see it. You see it. About August, prepare to be sick of me. Yeah. It's going to be Pastor Bay. Yeah, all of that. Now, I'm in the gym and I tell my trainer, I say, hey man, I'm ready to lift weights. And you should have seen me. I'm looking at him like, man, I'm in the wrong position to lift weights doing this, right? And he said, Rev, stop. He said, just stop. He said, you want to lift weights? Let me tell you what I want you to do. Just walk. He said, Rev, you ain't walked in 3 years. Come on. He said, come. You ain't walked in 3 years. And he said, if you would just walk, I can push you to jogging, then to running. He said, and somewhere down the line, we'll talk about lifting. You got to get comfortable in the ordinary before you do some extraordinary. That brother ain't lied. I'm 50 pounds down. Next thing I want to tell you is you've got to permit God access to what you possess. The Bible says that this listening crowd and a waiting congregation begins to pile and press up on Jesus in an effort for him to hear what God wants to do and wants to say. He's getting ready to break forth the bread of life, and Jesus makes an observation. He sees an empty boat that belonged to Simon Peter. And when Jesus sees this vacant water vehicle, the Bible says he climbs into the boat that belonged to Peter. Now the text does not record that Peter gave consent by way of his words, but he did by way of his actions. Because the Bible, watch what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus told Peter, he said, lunch out, thrust out a little from the land that I might sit down and preach to these people out of the ship. The church, this suggests unto us that Peter allowed the Lord access to what he possessed, and as a consequence, Jesus took Peter's boat and transformed his boat to a pulpit. In other words, what Peter did was allow the Lord to use what he had for his glory and for his divine purpose. And Peter granted Jesus access to his boat, access to his business, access to his space, access to the thing that was the thrust of his very livelihood. And it allowed him to take charge and command and be the captain. Brothers and sisters, Peter adhered to God being the captain of his boat. And brothers and sisters, and he went the direction in which the Lord told him to go. This alone shows us that whenever we give him access to what we possess, not only can God fulfill his purpose, but God can transform what we have and use it as a platform to benefit others and the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, Peter gave his boat and the Lord transformed it to a pulpit. And the Lord can do the same for you and I today if we would just give him access so that he could use what we possess for his glory, for our good, and for somebody else's benefit. Oh, brothers and sisters, somebody here today, you need to get like Peter and get free today and allow the Lord to take charge and command of your life and of your boat. Brothers and sisters, give him your life and he will elevate it. Brothers and sisters, that's what I'm trying to put over to you today. Whatever you give God, God will take it and he will elevate it. If you give him your life, he'll elevate it. If you give him your knowledge, he'll elevate it. If you give him your talents and your abilities, he will elevate it. If you give him your marriage, he'll elevate it. If you give him your children, he'll elevate it. If you give him your dreams and your aspirations, he'll elevate it. If you give him your finances, he'll elevate it. If you give him your hopes and all that you desire, give it to him and God will elevate it. Peter didn't just give him permission to get on board. He gave him permission to take control. And see, he asked him, Lord, don't just be resident. I need you to be president. Don't just give him access to dwell, but let him dictate. And oh, brothers and sisters, that's where we are today. What do you have that you're keeping away from God? What area of your life that you've restricted him access? The challenge with that is whenever you restrict him access, you forfeit the forthcoming rewards. I told the early service that I like rewards. I ordered 5 books the other day. And in there, they had a little card. And would you believe that on that card, it was a voucher? $100 voucher for wine. I said, my God, I need to order 5 more books. Rewards. Who knew being a good cookie would be payoff like this? But what I'm trying to get over to you is whatever you render to God has a reward. See, you never serve God without compensation. That's why the old church put all of their trust and their might in singing this song, I will trust in the Lord. But they will also say serving the Lord will pay off after a while. Brothers and sisters, can I tell you something? You will never be sorry when you give to the Lord. Whether it's spiritual or whether it's physical, secular, you will never be sorry when you give to the Lord. My grandmama said it this way, you can't beat God's giving. No matter how you try, the more you give, the more he'll give to you. Just keep on giving, because it's really true that you can't be God's giving. I got to hurry along, but Peter gave his boat. And I think Peter shows us that it's easy to give to him when you go back down memory lane and consider what he's already given to you. If you look back in Luke chapter number 4, just a chapter prior to this, verse number 38 and 39, you'll discover that Peter's mother-in-law was sick and afflicted with a great and terrible fever. And because Jesus was present in the house, they asked him to heal her. And the Bible says that he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and immediately she was healed. Peter shows us that when you consider all that God has done for you, try y'all over here. When you consider all that God has done for you, you ought to gladly, willingly, wholeheartedly, sacrificially render service unto him. Songwriter would say, withholding nothing. Third thing I want to tell you is you ought to pursue future possibilities in spite of your present reality. Pursue. Say pursue. Future possibilities despite your present reality. The Bible says that after Jesus arrives at the conclusion of his message, he fixes his focus on Peter. The Bible says that Jesus tells him, Peter, launch out to the deep. Let down your net for a catch. In other words, Peter, let's go fishing in uncharted territory. It is here where Jesus calls Peter to go further, go deeper, push forward, forage ahead, advance and celebrate beyond shallow water. Peter, I want to show you and I want you to experience what it requires to go the distance. Jesus called Peter to go into the deep waters of Galilee. But he was also calling him to a deeper adventure of faith and purpose. Somebody here today, God is asking you, go long, go deep, go the distance. But your problem is you like shallow water. And Peter is told by Jesus, I want you to leave shallow water, shallow commitment, shallow connections, shallow experiences and launch all the way out. Go all the way, push beyond the boundary, explore further, dig deeper, and experience greater. I want you to do something you are not accustomed to doing. This call is twofold, for in your personal life and in your spiritual life. Too many of us are content in shallow water, and their commitment is to the shallow, but you don't realize that you don't get big blessings in shallow water. That's over somebody's head. Listen, if you're a fisherman, the big fish ain't in no shallow water. You got to go out there and get it. I'm getting excited about my future. I'm sorry. But just for about five people who can look and say, this will be the day that I launch out into some deep water. I've been shallow long enough. Peter looks at Jesus and said, Master, we've toiled all night and we ain't caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll do it. I'll let my net down. In response to Jesus, Peter elects to put the Lord on notice of what had happened the night before. He says, Lord, we walked all night and caught nothing. Lord, we worked all night and we weren't successful. We tried our hand all night and we yielded no successful results. Lord, we tried to do what we were supposed to do all night, but we still failed in all of our attempts. And somebody here, under the sound of my voice, you've toiled and you've tried and you seem like all night, all year, all month, you've caught nothing. No progress. Nothing's working. Nothing seems to be catching. You can't get a break. If that's you today, Peter shows us what to do when you're faced into present failures. Peter shows us that whenever you're at that place, you got to do what Peter did and render God a nevertheless. At your word, I'll let down my net. Peter could do this because of what he had seen the Lord and heard of the Lord. And you know what? Peter heard what the Lord saying. I hear you saying, Reb, what did the Lord say to Peter? Well, in so many words, the Lord told Peter, I know you were unsuccessful. I know you were unfruitful. I know you were ineffective, but try it again. And that's what the Lord is trying to tell some husband and some wife today. Try it again. That's what the Lord is trying to tell some mother and some father. Try it again. That's what God's trying to tell some college student, some business owner, some military leader, some ministry leader, some pastor, some divorcee, some wounded person. Get in there, clean off your net, and try it again. Look at somebody and preach to them and say, you know what? Try it again. Come on, look across the aisle and preach to them and say, try it again. Oh, brothers and sisters, because when you try it this time, look at it. I want you to talk to your neighbor and say, when you try it this time, it's going to be different. When you try it this time, it's going to have different results. When you try it this time, God's going to blow your mind. Everybody shout, try it again. Now, my favorite preacher, Aaliyah, Reverend Aaliyah, Reb told me a few years ago, she said, if first you don't succeed, dust yourself off and try it. Let me hear you say it, try it again. Real fishermen, here's why I'm telling you this, Good Hope. Real fishermen are used to going back to the same waters that discouraged them in the first place. You can't call yourself a fisherman and you get discouraged because you caught nothing and don't go back fishing. Real fishermen go back to the waters that they were discouraged in. And that's what I'm telling you today. Go back. If you stay on that side of the promise, you'll always have the same reality. You'll always have the same testimony. Toiled all night and caught nothing. But thank God there's a nevertheless attached to the promise, and that God can give you a greater catch, a greater harvest, and a greater future. It's when you've taken in nothing, you ought to take a nevertheless. God, I don't understand your logic, but nevertheless. God, I don't see your plan, but nevertheless. God, I'm disappointed and I'm hurt, but nevertheless. God, it didn't work out how I wanted it to, but nevertheless. And God, listen, my mind is crazy about this situation, but nevertheless. Jesus, I'm going to take you at your word. Jesus, the carpenter, tells Peter, the fisherman, where to fish, how to fish. And Peter could have thought to himself, how can a carpenter tell a fisherman what to do? Well, maybe he answered his question in verse number 5. Not only did he call him, he called him Jesus, but he called him Master. And see, he's a carpenter by trade, but he's the master by his lordship. Peter understood and allowed him to lead him to the catch. And the challenge is, we don't think God can lead us in nothing but church. But he's the master. And whatever you got dealing with you, he can deal with it. He's the master. The Bible says that Peter does just as the Lord has instructed of him and commanded of him. And the Bible says that he got ready for a catch he had never seen. Brothers and sisters, I'm glad to report that Peter had many good days. but Peter was getting ready to see his best day. And I'm sure as a professional fisherman, Peter had seen many good days, many bad days. But Peter was getting ready to see his best day. And oh, brothers and sisters, Peter realized that whenever the Lord shows you who he is, it reminds you of who you're not. Peter looked at what the Lord had done and said, Lord, depart from me because I'm a sinful man. And the Lord did not scold him. The Lord did not talk badly to him. But the Lord took the opportunity to give him a charge and a commission. Peter, he says, Peter, from now on, you're no longer going to be a fisherman. But now, everybody say now. Everybody say now. You're going to be a fisher of men. And that merely means in the Greek to take men alive. He's telling Peter, you were going to fish people. You were fishing to draw fish to their death. But now you're going to fish to bring people to eternal life. He says, you're going to catch men for their development, and you're going to help save them for the kingdom of God. I got to quit this morning, but the last thing I want to tell you is you ought to proceed on a pathway that follows after the Lord, because the Bible says that Peter's response to Jesus was immediate. The Bible says he didn't stop following him on the lake, but Peter followed him in his life. And that's the question we have today. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? What are you going to do to let your life speak? What are you going to do that's going to give God the opportunity to do something wonderful, to do something amazing, to do something extraordinary in your life? Church, that's where the story ends. So that's where the sermon ends. But I'm nosy, so I wanted to know what happened to old man Peter after he dropped everything. I wanted to know what happened to old man Peter after he followed after the Lord. Well, I kept on reading. I looked over in Acts chapter number 2, verse number 14, where the Bible declares that 3 years later, after following the Lord Jesus, the scripture reads this way, and now Peter stood with the 11 and addressed the crowd on Pentecost. 3 years later, the Bible says, and now
Peter stood with the 11 and addressed the crowd on Pentecost. What I'm trying to tell you is the Lord took Peter from being an ordinary fisherman to an extraordinary preacher and an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what happened to Peter's legacy? Peter is now in history books. Peter has buildings with his name on it. Peter has books that tell about his life and legacy. Peter got a sermon out of me today. And all I'm trying to tell you is God can take you from ordinary to extraordinary. So if you're like Peter, you need to say these words. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, take my feet, take my heart. Use me, speak through me. Peter was used by God because he chose to follow God. And here it is, the more you follow him, the further he'll take you. Look at somebody and say, the more you follow him, the further he'll take you. Follow the leader. Follow the leader. And one of these days, and one of these days, one day he's gonna crack the sky and he's gonna lead us to promise and paradise with him. So what's the day, church? Today is decision day. I said today is decision day. Look at a neighbor and say, make up your mind. Come on, look at them real good and say, make up your mind that you're gonna serve him, you're gonna follow him, that you're gonna give to him. Well, here's my decision, church. I decided a long time ago, I decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, I'm gonna let him lead. I'm gonna let him lead. So if that's you today, if you want God to use you, I'm asking you to let God into your boat. Let God into your life and give him control. And when you give him what you possess, God will do amazing things. Look at a neighbor and say amazing things. Come on, shout it, amazing things. Come on, shout it, amazing things. God can do it, and he's wanting to do it through you. Shall Lord use me? Shall Lord use me? Shall Lord use me? Use me, Lord.
Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Lord.